and now we latch on to a handful of keys. Here it is.
Fats Waller, that's who's playing that piano. It's his own composition, A Handful of Keys, back 1929. He's just a young fella then. And it's Guy's History of Recorded Music, records from the early days of the phonograph, 1920s and before mostly. Today, let's celebrate Black History Month, okay? We'll have all black artists. Here's back to Fats.
From a sergeant. That's murder, ain't it? Well, all right, then. Let's...
Fats Waller. And as I said, it's going to be... Oh, music by African-American artists this morning. Stuff that is distinctly black, I think. There'll be, you know, some sophisticated type music and then some of the funkier stuff, you know, not quite so sophisticated. And... Maybe we can start it off here. Let's see. I like to start with Lonnie Johnson and Victoria Spivey, New Black Snake Blues. This is pretty funky. Here they are. Lonnie Johnson, a great guitar player. Victoria Spivey, a great singer. And let's listen to them.
Morning, I don't know what it is. In my path leads a black snake, 49 inches. Yeah, me screaming, man, I ain't dreaming. In my path lay a black snake, 49 inches long. I began to crawl. When my ride I wake, on my knees I began to crawl. It will be hell to tell the captain if I catch another man kicking in my stall. Gone.
baby by the time being. Early in the morning, late every night. Has no use of worrying, baby by the day's been long. The black snake has got the best goal. You can't roll him from home.
Love, oh love, oh careless love. never be my native home. In my promised old house, I'm just turning gray.
My Lord, gonna move this wicked rain.
Lucille Hegeman and her Blue Flame Syncopators, Aggravatin' Papa from 1922. And that's pretty early for black artists, really. There's I can't believe, really, if you go through the various collections, if you go on YouTube or archive.org, the place where I go to retrieve a lot of this music, the black artists are rare, you know, they're few and far between. The music is there, but digging it up, not so easy because it's buried among all of the white performers of that era. That's not true today, I don't suppose, although, you know, maybe they are still, maybe that still is a minority. Maybe there's still minority representation there, but back then it was rare, and before 1920 it was almost non-existent. You know, that there just weren't any black artists. Well, so it was Lucille Hegeman and her Blue Flame Syncopators. And before Lucille, who do we have? Let's see. We had, let me get my playlist here. Kid Ory's Creole Jazz Band with Maple Leaf Rag. Of course, that goes back to Scott Joplin and one of the, really the earliest, maybe the grandfather of black recorded music, although he didn't make many records. You know, he did make piano rolls, but not much in the way of records. But what a composer he was. And the music lives on today. Maple Leaf Rag, still familiar to just about everybody, I think, that hears it. Before that, the Dixie Jubilee Singers. My Lord's Gonna Move This Wicked Race. Don't have the date on that. Sometime in the 1920s. And before that, it was Kid Bailey, Mississippi Bottom Blues, 1929. Before that, it was Henry Thomas, great blues singer, great guitar player, John Henry, probably around 1927 or 28. And before that, it was Bessie Smith with Careless Love Blues. I think that's 1925. And she had Louis Armstrong accompanying her on cornet and Clarence Williams on piano. And before that, it was Lonnie Johnson with Victoria Spivey to start the set, New Black Snake Blues. And really, you know, the solo, you got two kinds of records here, I think. You got the solo performers, and a lot of them are kind of, you know, unsophisticated in a way. You know, it might be one guy with his guitar, or maybe a guy with his guitar and piano, or maybe like Victoria and Lonnie, you know, she's singing, he's playing, there's a piano in there somewhere. And there's a list of great piano players and great guitar players and great cornet players who are black. And really, they form, I think, the basis of the history of African-American recorded music. And this changed music. You know, you can feel the change if you listen to a lot of records from this era and you see what was around in 1917 and 1918 and 1919, then just how, just this huge change in the way the that the music sounded, the syncopation, you know, the blue note that comes in. It's a new thing, and everybody finally adopted. Even though when these records came out, when Lucille Hegeman's record came out in 1922, it would have been considered a race record. That was I don't know if that term came later, but that's the term that's used, because the records were made for and sold to mostly black people. They were the ones that were supposed to get them, and they were priced to sell, and the artists made almost nothing. We're going to hear the first of the black recording artists. His name was George Johnson, and his big hit of 1891, the first recording by an African-American that we know of, it was called The Whistling Coon. It's a racist song. There's nothing really from others at this time in 1891. You know, there just aren't any other black performers except for this guy. And this guy was a vaudevillian and, you know, traveling the country. And he would make, if you go on Wikipedia and look him up, he would make a record for 20 cents, you know. And they didn't just, in 1891, when they made a record, they didn't make a master and then press it, you know, and make copies of it. No, they had to record each one separately. So this guy, this record that you're going to hear was a recording session that made maybe one or as many machines as were going, 2, 3, 4, 5 records. And then he would have to sing it again for the next group of records. And that was the way it was done, one at a time. He might sing this, he might do this song, sing and whistle, 50 times in a day to make all the records that had to be made. Well, here he is, George Johnson, The Whistling Coon, the name of the song, and that's, I guess they called him that too.
Thank you. interpretation of Blue Song. This was a focus.
There's a saying going around, and I begin to think it's true. Now it's hard to love someone they don't care about you. Now once I had a loving man, if that's in your town. But now you see, I'm all alone. My brown gun turned me down. Honey, I ain't got nobody, and there's nobody here for me. Baby, I'm so sad and lonely. Oh, won't you come and take a chance with me? Honey, I'll sing love songs to you.
Give me that old time vinegar. Give me that old time vinegar. It's enough for me. It was for my mother.
It was for my mother.
It was for my mother. It's enough for me. Give me that old time vinegar. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. I shall soon be with the angels.
I shall soon be with the angels.
I shall soon be with the angels. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion.
Old time religion.
tried the mighty, I just can't do. And I feel like I wanna dance, I'm warning you in advance. But keep you from being in doubt, I'm gonna tell you what it's all about. Say, I got the heebies, I mean the jeebies I'm talking about. Those heebie-jeebie blues that they call it boy. Mix it in with a little bit of joy. Say, don't you know it, you should be showing these naughty blues. I wanna teach you, so come on, do that dance. Call the heebie-jeebies, yes ma'am. Mama got to do the heebie-jeebies there.
Madness, Lorraine. Ain't it grand, ain't it grand?
Ethel Waters. Hold on a second here. Not ready for that one yet. Ethel Waters, Heebie Jeebies, 1926. Great singer and a great band behind her there. Really a nice little duet there with the two brass instruments. Before that, it was Ubi Blake, Jazzin' Around, 1917. Would be one of the first of all jazz recordings back in 1917. Before that, Fletcher Henderson, Happy Feet, around 1929 or so. And before that, the Pace Jubilee Singers, Old Time Religion. Pace Jubilee Singers, they were organized by a man by the name of Pace. His name, let me get his name here. Charles Henry Pace organized them in the mid-1920s. And he found members of the senior choir at Beth Eden Baptist Church. I'm reading from a black gospel blog from a couple of years ago. Hattie Parker was the lead singer. She was popular in Chicago. And that group became the most recorded African-American sacred group in the 1920s. And he, Charles Henry Pace, went on to establish a publishing company called Old Ship of Zion and published gospel music. He was the first guy to chronicle and record on paper gospel music, and really the progenitor, I guess, of that genre. Pace Jubilee Singers. Before them, it was Jelly Roll Morton, New Orleans Joys, playing the piano. Maybe you could say that he invented jazz, too. He would have said so. He did say so, that he was the inventor. And before that, it was Martha Copeland and her Smoky City Trio. Sounded like it was maybe a clip from a movie, I Ain't Got Nobody, probably 1929. She didn't make a lot of records, but she was in movies, and that was rare in those days, but there you have it. Before that, it was Louis Armstrong and Earl Hines accompanying something called Weatherbird. He wrote that. Louis Armstrong wrote that and recorded it in 1928. And before that, it was Ida Cox with Lovey Austin at the piano, Graveyard Dream Blues, 1923. And we started the set with the first recording by a black recording artist called The Whistling Coon, 1891. And it was a big hit, you know, one of the biggest selling records of the era. Now, not that a lot of records were sold in that era, but that one was a big one. And we could say that George Johnson broke the color line, but years and years passed before blacks came into their own in recording music. I say that the record player did more to advance the black race than the Emancipation Proclamation. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I like to say.